Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you, Lord, that we're able to wake up and praise you. Father, I pray that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Let that be our prayer, Lord, that everything that comes from our mouth is pleasing to you. And Jesus, I thank you for the food that's come in and all the volunteers and the warm clothes that are out there on the table. We just deliver what you provide, Lord, so we are ever so grateful. Father, I pray for Mark as he gives us the word of God, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that the words that he says will be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. And Father, speak through him. Give him the words he needs to say to reach the lost and the lonely. We'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I was just sharing with Dwayne over here. I said, I feel the Lord's presence in the room. That's a good feeling. But sometimes that doesn't feel good. What I mean is, sometimes you... And I hope I'm only speaking to just a couple people today, but even if it's you, don't forget that you're loved, okay? We just can't forget that. You know, like tomorrow we'll be singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, we're all little ones, you know. To him belong, they are weak and he is strong. But sometimes when you feel the Lord's presence and you're not walking with him, or maybe you're trapped in something you don't want to be trapped in. What's an uncomfortable feeling to feel the presence of the Lord, if you understand what I'm saying. We've all been there. I've been there. You've been there. But I'll tell you what, maybe we could just for a few minutes just put all that aside. You know, isn't that a freeing feeling to just say, Lord, I hear this guy, he's talking about how much I'm loved and that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. And I'm not sure even if I believe all that, but maybe just for a few minutes we could just put the world aside, put our cares aside, put our needs, and we all have needs, put our needs aside and just maybe relax for a few minutes. God has given me something to say today that I'm so encouraged just reviewing it. But I hope I can encourage you and we could all just help each other. Let's pray for just a moment here, okay? Lord, I love seeing little people here, like these two right in front of me here. They're going to grow up, Lord, I pray, safe and sound and happy and whole. But maybe not. Our lives are filled with trouble sometimes. But I'm so glad that I taught my kids and taught myself that Jesus said, not Mark said, but Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trials, you're going to have difficulties. But, well, it's a huge but be encouraged. Jesus said, but be encouraged because I've overcome the world. The Lord, it's good to laugh. Good to smile. I knew that would touch somebody. And I'm thankful I'm here this morning. And all of God's family said, amen, amen. I didn't mean that the way that sounded, that big butt comment, okay? I knew that was going to make somebody laugh. Hey, it's good to laugh, though, isn't it? You know, we can laugh at ourselves. We can laugh at each other. We can have a good time in the Lord. And I just believe with all my heart He wants us to laugh sometimes. Hey, I saw a dog in my neighborhood. You don't have to believe me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. He was smiling. He was smiling so big. Where I live, there's a lot of pickup trucks and guys with dogs. And I saw on the passenger side, I'm telling you the truth now, this dog, probably medium size, mixed breed, you know, he's hanging, the window was half down. He's hanging half out the window, and he's out there. He didn't have sunglasses on or anything, but he's smiling real big, and he had his paw on the mirror. And they were just making the turn, so he was going slow, so I could see him real close. I saw his teeth. I saw his smile. And I thought, that dog is happy, 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 happy. And I don't know what his life is like. He eats and he sleeps and does whatever else, and then he eats and he sleeps. But, you know, I just hope that today, if someone is looking for something to find freedom in, something to find peace in, something to find happiness in, I hope I could say something that will trigger that. I came home last night, long story short, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to turn the TV on. I'll check my phone to see if the Cavs are winning, and they did again, and, you know, that's good. Just make Shirley happy. But I'm 5-1 now, so they could be 81-1 at this point, right? Okay. But anyhow, I just thought, I'm just going to open up a book, and I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to wake up, because tomorrow's a big day. And I'm going to be in front of big, beautiful, important people. And I'm talking to you. And I woke up with this thought, and this just blesses me. If you have your Bible, I'm in the book of Lamentations. It's just after Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations in the Old Testament there. This has been one of my anchor verses for so long. And I love when I wake up thinking about something other than the cares of the day or the junk from yesterday. You know what I mean? You wake up thinking about something really. I'm not saying Christmas morning every morning, or, hey, today we're going to Cedar Point, or I'm going to be on vacation starting today. You know, all those good feelings. She loves me. I'm happy this morning. He loves me. I'm happy. The kids are happy. I'm happy. I'm just talking about waking up with a happy thought. And I opened up my eyes this morning before I did anything. I said this out loud. I said, yet this I call to mind. This is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. But before I read this, let me ask you a question. What if what I read is true? I like to do this to myself. I'll say, what, Mark, what if what you are reading is really true? Well, I'm going to confess to you today, Jesus Christ is primary in my life. I'm just going to say it again. I'm not ashamed of it. He is primary in my life. But let me tell you this, though. Those secondary things, and those third dairy, I don't know if that's a word, and fourth dairy, and fifth, you know what I'm saying? Those things all try to take top dog spot. They're always trying. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ may be primary in your life, but there's other things that they try to bump him out, and they like to take the top spot. So we got to fight that together. So listen to this verse here. I just love this. Verse 21, Lamentations 3. I'll read it slow, and I hope it triggers something good in your heart and in your life. Yet this I call to mind. Again, I'm laying there in bed this morning. Said it out loud. And therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions, they never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I'm going to tell you what, that is a principle. That is a scripture. That's a promise that I don't ever want to lose that. I mean, I just want to know that because of the Lord's great love, I'm not consumed. And there may be something that's in your path right now, or you're going through, or it's coming up around the corner that is just, there's just no way you're going to get through it. And there's a lot of statistics out there that are really sad, and you hate to think about that. You really do. But because of God's great mercy, we are not consumed. And His compassions are brand spanking new every single morning. I love that. Now let me go backwards in the Old Testament a little bit. I'm going to go to Psalms now, and I'm going to be in Psalm 34 just for a minute. Then we're going to go to Exodus, and then I got a little bit in Matthew, a little bit in Acts, and then we're going to be the D word, dismissed for the food. Hey, I forgot something. If you appreciate the kitchen back there, let them hear you now. If you appreciate the kitchen, give them a hand back there. And I know how you feel about Steve and Judy in their heart. Psalm 34, verse 4 and verse 18 is what I'm going to look at in just a moment. Young lady's got her Bible out here. I remember years ago, I was thinking about this week. He's a pastor in Sugar Creek now. He gave me my first Bible. And I didn't say it to his face, but I wanted to be respectful. I'm like, what is this? I remember that. Pastor Dwight Mason's his name. He gave me a Bible, gave my wife a Bible, and I just looked at it and I thought, what am I supposed to do with it? I didn't know, brother. I didn't know. And then I started to learn some things. My dad was like that. My dad's been in heaven about 20 years, and he, long sad story short that ended happy, I guess. He worked all his life like a dog. He never really went to church much. He just slept most of the Sunday to get ready for the week and taking care of the kids and what have you. Then he retires. He gets leukemia. He had arms like Popeye. When he died, leukemia took him down to just skin and bone, you know. It's very sad. But, man, he was hungry for the Lord. He had an interest in Jesus, and he confessed to me that all his life he never had peace with God. And I said, boy, Lord, where am I going to take him in the Bible that won't confuse him? Well, I don't know. I just kind of randomly thought, I really like what it says in Psalm 34. And maybe this will touch somebody today. David writes in verse 4, he says, and this is, oh, let me ask you the question again. What if what I read is true? Oh, I believe that it is. That just makes me so happy. You're welcome to not believe it. That's your choice. That's okay. We're people. We're humans. We think different. But we're all same under God's eyes, aren't we? There's no color here. There's no gender here. There's no whatever. We're all the same in God's eyes. And that makes me really happy this morning. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. Kidding? Why would He answer me? Doesn't He have more important things to do? But the Bible says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. I believe that's true. Psalm 34, verse 4. This one here, this is a sad verse here. But it has a happy thought to it. But I don't like a couple of the words in this verse. And I'll tell you what I mean in a second here. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. I'm okay with that. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Maybe there's somebody here with a broken heart today. I'm sorry for you. I mean that. But my sorrow doesn't even compare to how God feels about your broken heart. And He saves those, here's the words I don't like, crushed in spirit. I was thinking about that this week, and we were talking about this last week, and I said, crushed in spirit. The more I say crushed in spirit, the more that just crushes me. I think, who can handle being just crushed? And there's somebody here that knows what I'm talking about. You have felt below bottom, you know, below sea level. You've probably said it. I can't even reach up to touch bottom. But wait a minute. If this is true, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. I want to hang around a guy like that. You might be saying, what did He just say? He wants to hang around a guy like that. He's talking about He wants to hang around a guy like that. That guy is Jesus. And then you might say, okay, Jesus is dead. Jesus lived a couple thousand years ago. Well, hey, He's primary in my life and He's primary in my thoughts. And we're going to talk about Matthew in just a moment. After I look at Exodus, I'm going back to the left if you have your Bible. If you're new to a Bible, it's towards the beginning, the book of Exodus. It's about the greatest story I think maybe ever told. And God takes it very serious when He looked at the Hebrew people who were crushed in spirit, who were brokenhearted, who needed God's faithfulness to come through. They're crossing a desert. There wasn't that many, there's a couple million. And I believe by faith, and I'm going to just say I believe it, even though it's incredible, they were thirsty and they had no water, and Moses struck a rock, and water came out of the rock, and they had enough to drink. They were hungry and they had no food, and God sent down manna for them to eat, their daily bread. Jesus later in the New Testament teaches his followers, his friends, his disciples, whatever you want to call them. Really, some of them almost became his enemies. They all ran. Peter denied him 3 times, yet I think about that. I think, Lord, you know everything. You know everything about him. You know everything about him. You know everything about her and me and you. You know everything about me. You knew everything about Peter, yet you still reached out and drew him in to be one of your own? What's that about? Well, I'll tell you what that's about. That's about reinstatement. That's about restoring. The Bible tells us that Jesus restored Peter. And then Peter, I don't know if God looked down and smiled at what Peter did, but Peter felt so unworthy when they took his life for following Christ that he wanted to be crucified upside down. Oh, my. I don't even want to think about that. But that's what Peter did. So, people who were crushed in spirit, a couple million of them, they're in the desert. I'm in Exodus chapter 14. By the way, what if what I'm going to read to you now is true? What if this is true? This is so long ago, it just takes faith to believe it. That's the only way we can really benefit from what we hear today, from what I hear today, from what I read today. Exodus 14, I'm just going to read a couple verses here. Verse 10 says, "The Pharaoh," we've all seen the movie, Ten Commandments. I love when it comes on. Sometimes I even just pull up that excerpts on YouTube just to watch it because it just means so much to me. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They had left Egypt. They were out in the desert. Moses, the one who was called, he was sent by God. He was sent by God. Did you know that God is a sending God? I'll just say that again because there could be a missionary in the future in this room right now. I never forgot a Moody professor told me once, I was taking some classes under this guy that was so brilliant. You just touched him and you learned something. Then he talked and you really learned something. And he wasn't anything ordinary or extraordinary. He was just, he loved people. And he loved the Lord. 2 things that I'd like to always have. I'd like to love people and I'd like to love the Lord. I think I'll be okay with that. But he said, you never know who you're talking to in a crowd because there could be the next missionary that is getting ready to be sent. God is a sending God. And he did the ultimate when he sent his son. They called him Jesus. Some of you know the hymn. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And it's hanging up in my wall because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future. And my life and your life is worth the living just because he lives. Back to the story here. We don't have much time. I'm going to whistle through this. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the desert to die? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt?" What? In Egypt they were raping the women and killing the people, and there were slaves that were, I mean, they were just working till they died. Yet, the mind is a crazy thing, isn't it? I mean, they had food back there, and they'll even talk about that. He says, back to verse 12 here, "Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Listen to this. This is so powerful to me. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Now, if you tell me that it's easy to be still, I don't mean to call you a liar, but if I was to tell you it's easy for me just to be still, it's easy for me just to wait upon the Lord, I think that's very difficult. I think it's a real testimony to a person that can say, "I am not going to make a decision until God makes a move." I really admire you for that. Now, there's times when I've done that. But he told the people, "You need only to be still." Does anybody know what happened right after that? This isn't a test. But the unthinkable happened right after he told them to be still. The Cahoga River is right down here, right? And it runs all over the place. And there's little tributaries and streams. I've never seen a stream part or a river part, let alone a sea part. That takes great faith to believe that. I don't care what anybody says. That God touched that part of the Red Sea and those Israelites crossed on dry ground. And when the Egyptians came after them, you can read the story later. The Egyptians came after them because they saw the sea parted and they come in. And then the walls of the water came down on the Egyptian army. And that's what he meant by you'll never see them ever again. They were gone. Wow. What if that is true? What does that mean today? Again, back to Jesus teaching his disciples, his followers, his friends to pray. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." That's the manna. "Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." He was asking them to forgive the Egyptians. Are you kidding me? They killed their kids. They killed their people. They worked them to death. "And lead us not into temptation." Don't send us back to Egypt. "But deliver us." Get us out of there. "But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen." So powerful. Speaking of Jesus, I'm jumping over to Matthew now. So I'm going to go right in my Bible, over to the New Testament. They're both old stories and it's an old book, but there's the old in the front and there's the new. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, I'm at the end of Matthew here. Just going to talk for a minute and then a little bit in Acts. And then I think the food, I smell something back there. I think there's lobster bisque and prime rib appetizers to start. And then you guys can enjoy the shrimp. So, God's good though, isn't he? Okay, see, don't anybody, please, I'm going to read this. Please, don't anybody beat themselves up over this. If you're in this group here of people I'm going to talk about. It's in Matthew chapter 28. And I say that because we've all been there. We've all doubted. We've all had moments of doubt or moments where our faith just wasn't primary, top dog priority. In verse 18 of Matthew 28, let me set the stage. It says, Jesus came to them and said, well, that's a big deal because he was dead. He was gone. And I've said this so many times. I've been to so many calling hours. Just went to a friend of mine the other day, a dear guy. Guy was one of my best friends. 4 hole-in-ones he had in his lifetime. Cool guy. And he wasn't sick and something happened and heaven called him home. I didn't walk in there and pray that he'd get up. I've never seen anybody get out of a casket. And I don't want to be insensitive to anybody who's just lost a loved one. I'm so sorry. Losing a child, that happened to us. Losing a young cousin, that happened in the family. Losing your mom, losing your dad. Very, 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 very difficult. Please don't let me sound like I'm being insensitive here. But Jesus had risen from the dead, folks. And the book of Acts tells us over a period of 40 days. Man, that's a long time. That's the entire month of November. And 9 days into December that he showed himself alive. That's a long time. He wanted to really prove, I am alive. So this is at the beginning, I guess you could call it. After the resurrection, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. He knows right where to start, doesn't he? Not just some. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And now he's telling his disciples, his Peters and John and Matthew and everybody. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And this next verse, what if it's true? Oh, my. What if it's true? Listen to what he says here. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You got to be kidding me. He's with me in court. He's with me at work. He's with me now. He was walking with me yesterday. Are you kidding me? He cares about that I'm brokenhearted and I feel crushed in spirit. Steve, would you be so kind to play in the background as I close here? I want to talk to you just a minute or two here. I'm going to keep going to the right. I'm going to go to the book of Acts now. Again, Jesus had risen from the dead. And this little segment here in Acts chapter 1, you can read the whole thing later. It's so amazing to me because I heard somebody say, every promise in the Bible is true except for one hasn't happened yet. Every promise has occurred except one. And when I heard that, I thought, what? What's he talking about? Well, he says he's coming back again. And unless I missed it, I hope I didn't. I'm sure I didn't. He hasn't come back yet. But he's coming back. I don't know if it's our generation or if it's these little folks' generation or their kids' generation, but he's coming back. I just believe that, and the Bible proves it over and over and over. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, he had given his disciples instructions in 8 and 7 to go and to wait, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. But verse 9 said, after he said this, after he gave them instructions, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. What if that is true, Sam? What if I go outside today, and I think it's going to be cloudy today, so it'll relate, and I just visualize Jesus from the parking lot going up and me watching him go up, and then he is covered by the cloud. Whew. That takes great faith to believe that. But because Jesus is primary in my life, He's helped my eyes to open, if you know what I mean. Because I remember when I got my first Bible and said, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? I remember the first thing I did was I opened it up and it said, I could put my name there, my phone number, didn't have email back then, you know, and put my name and date. And what do I do with this? I've learned. And you're learning. Okay. Verse 10. They, his followers, okay, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. This is so cool. When suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. I'm pretty sure that was the same two men dressed in white that were by the tomb a couple chapters earlier when he rose from the dead, those dear women. Hey, I'm not trying to beat up the men here. I'm one of you, okay? But those dear women, God bless you. Maybe you have more tenacity than we have sometimes. Somebody used to call it bulldog tenacity. I'm not calling you bulldogs, ladies. I'm just saying, maybe you have just more tenacity than us men have sometimes. I'm challenging myself here, okay? Not to go against you, just to join you in the tenacity, right? Acts 1. So these women go to the grave They're not afraid of the Roman guards that are going to kill them for interfering with everything. And hey, we're going to anoint the body. And two men dressed in white said, "Why are you here? He's risen. He's not here. Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" So those same two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said. Oh, then they spoke. Woo! I don't know who they were. I don't know if they had wings and white and angels and halos. I don't know what they looked like, but they were dressed in white. And I'll bet you needed sunglasses. He said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky?" I guarantee you those were the same two guys. They told the women, "Why are you here looking for the dead? He's alive. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus," here's the promise that hasn't happened yet. "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." I would like to pray with you here. And let me just say, I'd like to join you in... Look at that beautiful baby. God bless that baby. I would like to join you in prayer because it's important for me to join you. It's a prayer of confession. And you could call it sin, you could call it disobedience, you could call it bad things, you could call it habits, you could call it whatever. But the Bible, unfortunately, calls it sin, and that's what Jesus died for. He bled and died for it. And I'm so thankful. The other day, I'll lay there in bed and think of things before the day starts. I think, "Lord, I'm so thankful that the Bible says, if I confess my sins, I will be forgiven and I can be cleansed. Would you cleanse me, Lord?" And sometimes that cleansing is a little, feels like bleach. But God knows what He's doing. So I just want to pray with you a prayer of confession and a prayer of commitment. Maybe you've known Jesus 40 years. We never stop growing. I'm so thankful for that. So I'd like to join you in this short prayer. And if you pray this with me, and if you mean it, you should hang on. I met a guy named Billy at AA meeting this week. Actually, it's called Recovery in Christ /AA. It's an awesome meeting. And Billy said, "I've just discovered this book called the Bible." He's brand new and he's all excited. He said, "I'm so hungry to learn." And I told him afterwards, I said, "If you are hungry, hang on. Because God hears that and He will fill you." Are you hungry this morning? Am I hungry this morning? I don't mean just for sustenance, for food. Are you hungry for what God wants to do in your life? Do you want Him to forgive you of your sins? Do you want Him to come deep into your heart? Pray this prayer with me. If God's speaking to you, "Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Help me, Lord, to trust in you every day of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." In a very orderly, please. There's a lot of people here today. God bless you all. We're dismissed, okay? Give the Lord a hand this morning.